Next. God saved us, but will we follow? And during this time, God has spoken to me very dearly. What I want to share with you this morning is life can be a pain sometimes. Pain in the neck, pain in someplace else. Some people have more problems than others, more physical problems, more family problems, other stresses in their lives. It's not always the fault of their own. It just happens. Sometimes it's caused by sin, but other times it's just their lifestyle or life happens. If some people in the world, that's the non-Christians, when we talk about the world, that's the people that don't know Christ yet, but the non-Christians might say, what did you do to have such a case of bad karma? You know, and I'm glad I don't believe in karma. I believe in Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. I've been healthy most of my life. Of course, childhood, you have things like chicken pox and measles and mumps and all these little things, a broken arm here and arrow in the head here. And not everybody, but I did. And after I started growing up, I got in the service, and I tell you what, I've never had so many shots in my life as before I went overseas. And one day I had 21 shots, and I said, I've had enough shots in the service that's going to last me another 40 years, and guess what? It did. Some people might say that 60 stinks. You turn 60, things start to go wrong, but you know, I have a different perspective. I say that God can use me or anyone at 60 just as well as he can use them at any other time in their life. And we just have to be open to his calling. On May 22nd, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And it's hard to say how I felt. I was maybe in a little bit of shock, but you know, I thought might have been something wrong with my stomach when they called me back in. We were up in Prescott. We stayed overnight. And the doctor called me at 7:30 in the morning and said, I want you to get back over to the hospital right away. I've set up an MRI for you. There's something wrong. I want to check it out. Turned out I had a brain tumor. And it doesn't matter how strong you are in the Lord or whatever, there's always a little bit of apprehension of what's going to happen. And the only thing I could say is that I had to put all my trust in God. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. July 18th, I was getting out of the hospital. And so between May and July, I had a lot of time. I wasn't working. They grounded me from working. I had a lot of time on my hands. 2 months of contemplating the future and my situation. During that time, I did a lot of time of praying and listening to God. And boy, did he let me have it. I want to talk a little bit about prayer. That's the first, I don't know if you can follow my notes or not. I tried to do that as well. And prayer is probably the best thermometer that we have for measuring our growth in the church and in our personal lives. It drives us in all that is truly spiritual, both in the church and our lives, and it's voicing our dependence on God. We also have to listen to God. We listen through prayer, and we wait for him to answer. And his answer might be just that he gives us peace and reminds us of his power and authority in our limitations as humans. He answers all prayers, but sometimes it's just to say, I am there with you, standing by you. And we just have to learn how to wait for him. In Psalm 27:14, it says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. His timing is his timing, not our timing. Sometimes we just have to be patient. Each of us, in our own personal daily lives, is led through trials and tribulations of one type or another. These test our faith, and it should spur us on to life of more prayer and deeper dependence on God. There's power in prayer. The prayer connects us to the source. The source is God. If you're not a Christian, you don't have that connection to our Heavenly Father. But as Christians, we are connected directly to the power. And I want to tell you about just a few of the people in the Bible. Moses led a nation, or a people, from slavery to nationhood. He was an intercessor for those people. Gideon, he learned to listen to God. And if you know the story about Gideon, he took 300 people and beat an army. And he was listening to God, and God had gave him the different commands. The prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, they felt compassion. They had God's heart for their nation, for their people. And Nehemiah waited on the Lord and was given charge of the greatest public works project of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. All of these people sought counsel through prayer. And Jesus gives us the greatest example of all. And he gives us not only made prayer a priority, but he modeled a life of prayer. He was in constant prayer. Everything he did, he everywhere he went, everybody he met with, he was in constant prayer. He demonstrated an attitude of prayer. He demonstrated what true prayer is, not in any formula, basically. I know he teaches us how to pray, but it's not really a formula. And he gives us how to pray from our hearts. It's no fancy words or no tricks about it. It's just a communication between you and God and what's in your heart. And one of the best instructions in prayer is in Ephesians 6:18. And it says, directly from the Bible, 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert always. Keep it on praying for all the saints. Now, on all occasions, everything that happens to you, whether you got family crisis, you've got baseball games, I don't care, but in all occasions where you're driving, now you don't have to close your eyes all the time to be in an attitude of prayer. I mean, if you want to pray when you're driving down the highway, please don't close your eyes, okay? Because something more, you're going to need a lot more prayer than that if you get in an accident. Again, the attitude of prayer in 1 Thessalonians. Again, be joyful always. Now, before I go on, being joyful doesn't mean, don't confuse it with happiness. You can be very happy or you can be miserable. Things can be happening to you. But God gives you a joy in your heart and mind that overcomes a lot of things. But being joyful doesn't mean that you might not be crying or you might not be hurting. But being joyful is a special joy that only God gives you. It says, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And do not put out the Spirit's fire. I asked for guidance during my time of special needs over the past couple months. I asked for guidance. I asked for peace, strength, and all of it related to my circumstance. I prayed for my family. I prayed for my friends. I didn't want to put a burden on anybody else, and I felt that maybe what was happening to me might be burdening somebody else, and I didn't want that to be. I did not want to put out his fire by feeling sorry for myself. I accepted my circumstances and was willing to do whatever I needed to bring glory to God. And the Spirit humbled me, gave me peace, and gave me new direction. And he challenged me. I gave him thanks that I can be here today. He challenged me to step forward and speak to you today. In Psalms 25, verses 4 to 5, this is for direction. Show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. God challenges us to grow, to overcome fear, to share peace and love with others, to reach the lost, and to help people grow in their walk with Him. We are to live with Him, amen? And for Him. Age to perfection. This is the shortest point of my whole sermon here. I had come to an understanding through all of this that God is continuing to shape me and mold me and to perfect me into the being that He wants me to be. Stronger man of God, better servant, better leader, better husband, father. I don't know, but maybe I'm okay as a husband, but my wife will attest to that. I do need to grow. He knows the why, the what, the when, the where, and the hows of everything that I've done or will do in this little wisp of time, this my life. You may have seen me, like in the pictures, wearing the witness t-shirts. I have one that's called has aged to perfection. It's a light blue shirt with white printing on it. And the Bible verse for that is in 2 Corinthians 4:16b. The latter part of the verse says, though our bodies are dying, our inner strength is growing every day in the Lord, every day. It is our responsibility to allow Him to control our lives, to allow us to grow, to help us to grow. The Holy Spirit is our counselor, and we must surrender ourselves to allow Him to guide us in all truth. Many of us close off the promptings of God and go about our own business, doing things our way. And I think it was Frank Sinatra used to sing a song, and I'll do it my way. And that's unfortunately the way a lot of people in the world go, and unfortunately carries over into the Christian life. And we develop a carnal thinking. It's not all Christians, don't get me wrong, but carnal thinking is worldly thinking. And many Christians only hope that they are serving God. Again. And I want to reemphasize this. It's not all Christians. There are many Christians that are open up and serving God. People step up, like the worship team today. They step up in a time of need to fill in for the others. There's Ryan who stepped up and did the communion. And there's many ministries within this church. But there's many people who might fall into this category. They become, have a habitual pattern of worship. They get up Sunday morning, come to church most of the time, sit through the service, and then they go home. During that time, they're looking towards their physical needs. Many Christians just look towards the physical needs of people, but then they overlook or forget the spiritual needs. Some people think that if we meet the physical needs, the spiritual needs will follow. And there's a saying that give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. It's an old Chinese proverb. Teach a man a fish and you feed him for a lifetime. And there's an alternate view of that. You give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach a man to use a net, and you won't see him for weeks. So, that was supposed to be funny, guys. Lighten up. Maybe it's my delivery. I don't know. Many people become misguided in their service to God, and they think more about themselves and about their own personal problems than what God wants them to do. A carnal thinker becomes more thinking about him or herself. Here are some things that can happen when we lose sight of God's spiritual nature. Our service to him starts to fall down, and we start neglecting him. Church stewardship. First of all, our giving starts to fall off. Our involvement in ministry or lack thereof just goes down. Families, personal finances start to be spread out. We get too spread out. We start to collapse. Families start having problems, maybe with the kids, or maybe some marriages start to fall off. Now, there are marriages in the Christian life, and there's marriages in the world. And I tell you what, it's sad, but the marriages that fall apart in Christians are just as bad as the ones that fall apart in the world. And that shouldn't be the case, because once you come to knowledge of Christ, your focus should be on Christ and your family, and everything else follows afterwards. But that doesn't seem to be the case. Worship becomes more limited. Here's some other things. Our attitude changes. People may tend to be more contentious and argumentative about little things. You've heard of churches splitting because they didn't like the color of the carpet or the type of chairs or pews or whatever. And this is not what God wants. He wants unity in the church. The goals and dreams that people set become more self-oriented rather than God-oriented, and their routines don't equal what God wants them to be or do. Jesus warns us in Luke 21:34, be careful of your hearts, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. We have to guard our hearts that we don't allow ourselves to sink to a level of worldliness we need to continue, like I said, continually be in an attitude of prayer every day in all situations, and that will keep us. When you mature in your prayer life, it will help you mature in your walk with God and your involvement in the church. Again, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says, obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out of the open into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Everyone completely absorbed in self, ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he does, and God is not pleased. He isn't pleased with when we start focusing on ourselves. When we focus on ourselves, we have become carnal thinkers. We put ourselves into a box of our own comfortable lifestyle. In that box are a lot of sin, mostly sin of omission. I'm not listing all kinds of different sins, but the sin of omission, we omit doing the things we ought to do for God, where we ought to do them, and in the time they ought to be done. We become lethargic, lazy. We just don't want to be involved. And that's not right. Our walk with Him, with Jesus, becomes very weak. And all those other things start to happen. There's only one cure for our spiraling, self-serving lifestyle that we have living within that box. That comfortable zone of our box must be stepped out of, and the ownership of our destiny, our worldly existence, must be completely and without hesitation be turned over to Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to be the true master of our life. Amen? Now, Sundays versus the rest of the week. I didn't know how to put this, but Sundays are good. I wish I had that clicker. Make it a little easier. But you're doing a good job. On Sundays, we go to worship, have some fellowship, like we've had earlier. We hear God's word spoken, maybe learn a few more Christian cliches so we can sound more Christian. That's not always the case. And it just becomes habit. That's the nature of carnal thinking. Not all Christians are this way. I want to reemphasize that. Some are very hardworking, very involved in ministry. We have new ministry starting. Shelby and his wife, Melissa, are starting that crisis recovery. That's a very important step. It's going to meld the church with the needs of the community, of the people who are hurting the community that may not know God, but it's going to make a connection. And that's a very important step for our church to undertake. What if a Christian has slowed their pace? What are we supposed to do? We're to spur them on, encourage them, lead them to maturity. Now, in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, let's not stop meeting together. And when it says we spur people on, we encourage them. Sometimes people just need a little boost. Hey, you going to church today? I was thinking about doing something else. Oh, come on. Come on with me. I need some company. Come on with me to church. You know, it's easy. That's a little bit of spurring people on. You know, just giving them a little nudge. If you see somebody that might be a little down, encourage them. You find out that they have a problem, encourage them. That's part of leading people to an upper level of maturity, and you know what? It's going to turn around that once that person sees somebody else that needs some encouragement, it might be their turn to be the encourager. If a person has personally altered their time, something that comes to mind is if you have toys like a boat or a race car or something like that, you know, the world focuses a lot of those things on Sundays to draw us away from church. You know, the NASCAR is on Sunday, fishing tournaments are on Sunday. I used to fish in fishing tournaments, but years ago, not only financially did I give it up, but just it was on Sunday. They were always on Sunday, and it drew me away from being here in church, and I felt more of a call to be here in church than to be on the lake fishing. And during the summer, I know we want to go out and have fun, we want to do things, but you got to put things in the right perspective. There's time after church to go to the lake. You can go Saturday. If you work 6 days a week, I'm sorry, well, go Sunday afternoon. But if you're a Christian and you're really trying to search out God's heart, then sometimes we have to sacrifice our personal desires to fulfill our Christian responsibilities. What should we do? We ask forgiveness, repent, turn to God in obedience, and be humble about it. What about the rest of the day, the rest of the week? What are we doing with our lives to glorify the Master? Are we witnessing? Are we teaching? Are we guiding? God wants us to age to perfection, but we can't put him in a box. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Part of our life is serving God. That's how he wants us to live to the full. If we turn our backs on God, if we just go about our everyday lives, you know, when we hang around people in the world, we need to keep our mind focused on God and try to bring those people into the body of Christ rather than allowing them to drag us down into the world, if you understand what I mean. The people you hang around are the people that are going to affect your lives. If your ministry is going out and reaching the lost, just be on guard that something doesn't happen there for them to drag you down. Don't fall back into the worldly thinking. We need to climb out of our boxes, out of our comfort zones, and we need to help others climb out of their boxes and their comfort zones. And that includes boxes of complacency, of toleration, of self-reliance, self-serving lifestyles, and restore them to serving God. Amen? Amen? Amen. I knew I'd wake you up one way or the other. We are the body of Christ. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. I know I haven't asked you to turn to a lot of verses today, but this is a pretty big one. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will be no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by cunning craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body is joined, and together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each of us does his work. We are the body of Christ. Everybody has some unique quality that God has given him. It may be speaking, it may be doing, it may be support, it may be leading. But everybody has something. They might be a person who loves to chop weeds, I don't care. Might be somebody who loves to be a janitor. It doesn't matter. You all have something that God has given you, and that is used in the body of Christ. We cannot ignore our calling. The leadership of the church is to prepare people for works of service. It's not our responsibility to do it all. Go ahead. Okay. You all have a talent. Are you using it to serve God? If not, why not? What's holding you back? Do you think there's not anything out there for you to do or anything within the church to do? There's always something. We can't... Are we ahead of ourselves here? We can't dump our responsibilities on someone else expecting to glorify God. Each person must do their part. Okay. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up here for the guitars, please. I'm going to be closing in a few minutes. And if Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, it is for grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. I want to re-emphasize that. You cannot work your way into heaven. Don't get confused. You don't work your way to the knowledge of Christ. It is only through him that we can reach the Father. So no one can boast about, hey, I've earned my right to go to heaven. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Once you become a Christian, God needs you to start working for him to do what he has prepared for you to do. We must individually and collectively relight the fire of dedication and devotion to God. You have been given a challenge to climb out of the box, to start serving God, and not for self-satisfaction, but to glorify him. What is your calling? What is your purpose? Whom do you serve, God or mammon? What is your desire? What box do you need to step out of? Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Matthew 25:21 says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share the master's happiness. When we get to heaven as Christians and we stand before Christ, who will be on the judgment throne, he's going to ask, what have you done now that you've come to know me? What have you done for me? And he's going to have everything listed of what we've done before we're saved and after saved. But that is going to erase. He's going to erase what we did before coming to his knowledge. He's forgiven us for all those things. But he's also going to wonder or ask what you have done for him in the service of him on earth. And all of our hopes and dreams when we get there will be, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into my master's house and enjoy the master's happiness. God has saved you. Will you follow? The song that they sang earlier, we'll follow you every day of our lives. Are we following God? Or are we following our self-centered self-needs? Would you bow your heads with me, please? I don't know where you're coming from today. I don't know how long you've been a Christian, or even if you are a Christian. I want to ask a few questions with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, please. If this message has spoken to you today and you want to rekindle your walk with him, you want to dedicate more time to service of God, maybe he's been touching your heart and asking you, why are you not servicing me? If this is your desire, would you please stand? If there's anyone here who does not know Christ, maybe this is the first time you've been here, I don't know. I haven't recognized any new people here yet. Maybe there's somebody out there. But if God has spoken to your heart today, that maybe you haven't been yet received him into your heart, maybe this is a time that you have decided that it is time to acknowledge Christ as your Lord and Savior. You want to turn your life over to him. Maybe this is time you need to stand, take that stand for Christ. Would all of you please stand, please, and remain in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time and opportunity to speak my heart. I ask, Lord, that what I've covered might touch at least one person's heart today. I pray, Lord, for all the people who are not here, that they will return safely tomorrow and today. I ask that we go about our week keeping in mind that we are to pray continuously and have our hopes in you and not in the world. In Jesus' precious name, amen.